Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the final episode, episode 6 of Babysitting Trevor, with me, Carl Donnelly.
And me, Chris Martin. Joining us soon is just I'm really sad,
the
Carl.
Man you've grown to love.
The man I'm going to miss. He's got Trevor Crook.
Yeah, he's leaving us for
a while. Who this whole podcast is for and about.
Yeah.
It's sad times. Sorry, there's going to be another series.
Yeah, of course.
This is but just this, he's going to Australia, he's leaving us.
Yes.
Leaving Julia for a bit.
Will it be like a HBO series where it's left on a cliffhanger?
Hopefully.
I don't reckon it will be.
No,
I don't Trev, it'll just end with just talking.
Just talking. Just continual talking to fade. Yeah. So, yeah, you all know Trev. Each week we set him some homework, see how he does for himself, for his wife, for us, for you guys to laugh about.
Oh, yeah.
So far, he has yet to complete all the homework. No. Will he complete it? Final episode, Carl.
Maybe at the end of the episode, we should give him an actual... like end of season rating.
Yeah, just so people know, if you've been listening before, you'll know that I set Trev, he couldn't do it last week, I set him the task of taking you to the gym.
Which I can confirm did happen.
Yes!
And will find out during the chat just how it went.
Yeah.
I'll give you a little teaser. It went really well.
Oh, good. I'm excited.
And it was a lot of fun.
And what did you set him to do for Julia?
I set him the task of doing some chores of Julia's choosing.
Absolutely no chance.
Just around the house, little things.
I can't imagine anything happened there.
Well, it depends, because obviously she knows him even better than we do. So she'll know which ones to give him. I reckon she might have played it safe.
If she's very lenient with the term chore, he might have done it as in if a chore
sitting
was,
down is a chore.
If keeping that bum groove in shape was a chore, then yeah.
I reckon he's been very successful.
Let's find out. Trev, you right?
Oh yeah, I'm all right. Yeah. Slowly recovering from my illness.
You sound more upbeat than last week.
I had to tell him, I always sound kind of sick.
On the Trevor scale.
On the Trevometer.
I'm never great, actually. I'm either okay or, you know, completely shit, but there's nothing.
never
really anything elevated.
Have you always been like that?
Yeah, now,
I just thought because you get older and you seem to be quite depressed about your age. I thought that might be a fact, but it's even when you were like 21.
I've never felt great. Yeah, some people like jump out of bed and life's great and they're full of positive. I've never been like that. I've always been really down and fucking miserable and very sort of introspective. Yeah. Or okay.
Right. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you used to wind me up about being a really old man for like when I was. We talked about how I was a really old young person.
You used to do a lot of, you started cooking for yourself when you were about nine.
Yeah.
I was always
quite an old person person's body. Did you feel like that growing up? Lethargy.
I was always too introspective. I was always involved in me. Everything revolved around me, so I didn't give a fuck about anyone
else. What age was it? Young.
I probably four. Very, very young. Very, very self-centered. Everything was me. And
You had brothers and sisters.
Yeah. I had an older brother who we didn't get on at all. He was, he was always like trying to boss me around. I'd always get the better of him because I'm intrinsically smarter than him. Really. I know. So I'd always
How much older than you?
He's about 3 years older than me.
Do you contact still?
We're on reasonable terms, but for years we didn't talk. It was like a feud.
Yeah.
And because when I was a kid, I always got the better of him. I'd fuck him up. You know what I mean? And
in what way?
Well, I remember once he accidentally hit me in the back with a pickaxe. He was like...
That story escalated so quickly.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it.
He was always behind him. And he just swung it back and hit me. I screamed.
Did it dig in?
Yeah, it hurt, yeah. But I fucking over-dramatised it. And my mum came running out.
How can you over-dramatise being hit with a pickaxe?
Yeah, yeah.
The one time you didn't go to the doctor.
Yeah, and my mum comes out and he hit me with a pickaxe. And fucking, she went off ahead and gave him a fucking. I don't know if she hit him or what she gave him, but he did have quite a hard time over there. And he was completely innocent.
Yeah. I meant to ask you this, Trev. Do you daydream a lot?
Yeah.
Do you have weird normal dreams? Do you have dreams?
Yeah, I in my dreams, I'm always having fights to the death with celebrities. Don't know what the fuck going on. I did. I'm always
a fucking celebrity deathmatch. Yeah, that was an MTV show in the 90s.
Unbelievable. Remember once, Spike Milligan tried to drown me in the fucking dream. We're down by the water, and Spike had me down, and he's like pushing my head under the waves. And then I had a fight with Ian Botham. It's a very, very celebrity. It's like I'm in a movie.
How did you get? How did you fare against Beefy? Yeah.
What's your record in fights?
Well, I wake up because I'm usually restricted. What happens in my dreams is Beefy might get me in a headlock and I can't move. And then I sort of panic because he's restricting me. And then I wake up.
Oh, you wake up, all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you wake up.
So the fights always wake me up eventually, you know. Oh. I hang around with Shane Warne a lot. It's like I'm in a movie.
You hang around with Shane Warne. That's the best description of a dream. Right. Just hang around with Shane Warne.
Yeah, in real life, he wouldn't fucking piss on me if I was on fire. But in my dreams, we're very good mates.
Do you keep going back to it? And I think Shane would like... but he's all a bit too... He's, you know, done his Botox and all that. He loves it.
Yeah, I probably have nothing in common with him. But
would you hang out with him, just chat about cricket with him in your dreams?
No, I did share the green room with him at a show once. I started talking about cricket.
Oh, a real gig?
This is
no longer in a dream.
And it all became a bit embarrassing. I think I made a fool of myself.
Did you jump on him and start hitting him with a frying pan?
No, I started to discuss leg spin bowling, thinking that's what he'd want to talk about.
No, he probably wants to die off.
But, you know, but I think it was a misjudgment on my part.
In your dreams of him, what do you chat to him about?
In my dreams, we go to parties a lot.
That's amazing.
I'm not in a movie. I can't see me in the dream. I'm like a camera in my dreams. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like point of view. It's like Peep Show.
Yeah. Yeah, like that. Yes, exactly like that. I don't see myself in the dream at all.
Ever.
I can experience anything in a dream.
Yeah.
But it's just like I'm a cameraman. I'm going around a room like that.
Have you ever thought about lucid dreaming? Because Carl's done that recently. Have you heard of this?
You think it's reality.
But you can actually control it.
You control it. You realise it's a dream in the dream. And then you can sort of change things.
Oh, have you tried controlling
it? I've tried it, yeah. I've only managed it once. Mm. And it was so weird. And it sounds really dumb when I tell it. But basically I was in an airport and it kicked off. It was a terrorist attack. So I was in an airport, packed, waiting for our bags. Loads of people waiting. There was hundreds of people waiting. Mm. Obviously something going on. And then suddenly all the bags on the conveyor belt started blowing up with bombs. And bodies were flying everywhere.
Yeah, right.
And I was just standing there watching this all happen. Mm. And I suddenly became aware that I was dreaming. And I'd stopped and said to myself, what the bloody hell am I putting up with this for? This is my dream. Mm. And I'm caught up in a terrorist attack. So what I decided to do was turn into like diamonds and then fly away.
Turn into diamonds?
Yeah, so I just went, I said, I'm not having this. And I just changed myself all into diamonds.
You mean diamonds?
Like, sort of, yeah, just, I started glowing as if I was a diamond.
Okay.
It's a weird feature.
And then I just looked up and just flew off out through the airport. I just got out of there as a diamond man.
Like a flying disco ball or something. It's weird.
But it was a good way of getting out of it.
You can get into lucid dreaming. That could be another homework for season two, Trev. There's a book on it. It's actually quite easy to do, isn't it? You read it. You have to wake up, note down your dreams. So yours are pretty easy. You'd be had a chat with Shane Warne again.
Yeah, okay.
Another party.
Another party, me and Shane tour.
Yeah. So, no, but the way you do it is you start when you're awake, just say like once every few hours, just question whether or not you're awake. Just stop and just say to yourself in your head or whatever, say, am I dreaming? Mm. And then you start noting your dreams down. So if you wake up from a dream in the night, rather than just go back to sleep and forget it, because then you will forget it if you go back to sleep, write it down, then go back to sleep. So sometimes you wake up in the morning and you've got notes from a dream that you have no idea happened. Like you don't remember having a dream, but then you'll find a note in your pad saying, you know, went to a party with Shane Warne.
And then
over the course of like just a couple of weeks, you just suddenly just start. The goal is to, in a dream, ask yourself, am I dreaming? So, because you've already got that sort of memory of doing it regularly. Suddenly you're in a, you'll be at a party with Shane Warne and you'll be like, hold on a sec, this is a dream. Then you can go, we can do whatever we want.
Fuck yeah, okay. I'll fucking do a bit of research.
Yeah, you can. You can look it up online. So if you could, like, so if you could control your dreams, so let's say you, what would you be, what would the first thing you'd do in a dream be?
If I could control
it. Like, if you could control, go, right, I can just
bear
do anything.
In mind, when the book I was reading, a lot of people, a lot of men in particular, when they first start lucid dreaming, get dirty. Like, a lot of men, when they first start learning how to do it, just turn all their dreams into sex dreams.
Yeah, but you can't initiate the dream consciously.
No,
so you,
but you can change the dream totally. So you could have a dream. Oh, okay, you were driving a bus, and the moment you realise you're dreaming, you can change that to whatever you want. They reckon statistically, a lot of men, in the early days of lucid dreaming, just change every dream to have sex with loads of women.
Let's give we'll give you Trev. I'll set the scenario, and I'll just click my fingers, and you just take the dream where you want, right? So, Trev, you and Shane Warne and Beefy, three of you. Yeah. You go. You have a couple of pints in Wetherspoons. Yeah. So William Morris and Hammersmith down the road. A couple of pints. You then bump into Athers.
Okay.
Yeah, he's there as well.
He's a bit boring.
But he's just there. He's like, where are we going, lads? He goes, come with me. You go to, what's that? Belushi's Bar. Shepherd's Bush.
Yep.
Student night. You can now control it. What are you doing?
I'd probably go home.
That is actually a good night already.
It sounds like a very long night.
Fair enough.
I mean, that does sound like a really fun night.
It sounds like the night's
I wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything if I was having that.
Belushi's.
Yeah, Belushi's with four legendary cricketers. Yeah.
Four, that's three. Trev.
Three.
Do you ever sexualise a dream, yeah?
I think I had a dirty dream recently. I'm not going to say who was involved.
Mm. Someone we know.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you're looking at me.
No, but it was about me. It was about going on a comedy retreat and then being fellated by a female comedian. But it was just out of the blue. I wasn't fully consenting in it either. Like,
okay.
I was just chilling on my bed in this sort of, in this country house. And the country house was full of comedians. Like, loads of comedians had gone on this weekend away together to like write and work on stuff. Day one, afternoon we got there, a well-known female comedian just came into my room and I thought she was just going to say hello. And she just forced herself upon me. I allowed it to happen.
Is she well-known?
She's sort of semi-famous.
As Trevor the Piston, I said.
It was not Joe Brand.
No,
she's semi-famous. And she's somebody that it's going to be weird next time I see her knowing what happened in that dream. You know, because she's not the sort to... I've only ever known her as... that's not her style. Breaking into someone's room and noshing them off.
Yeah, but you don't know what she's thinking. You know, her fantasies might be to want to fellate you
in a country house.
Had a hell of a workout with Carl. Listen to me old ways, mate. Defeated by gravity again. Fuck you, Isaac Newton.
So, Trev, your homework this week, the main part, most excited I've been about homework, even though I wasn't there, was I sent Carl to do a weight session with you as his teacher.
Yeah, that's right.
We did it yesterday.
How'd it go?
Well, you know, I was on my way there, and I thought Carl would be, you know, he'd never done weights before. And really, have you? Yeah, never done weights before. And so I thought, I used to be a gym instructor years ago.
Yeah.
And so I thought, how will I not deal with him, but how, because you have to, everyone's an individual, so if I'm going to organise a class, or, you know, I've got to take their personalities into account and what's the best way to approach it.
Right. So you actually did a bit of prep for this.
Yeah, you have to. So I had the routine in my head. Well, we'll do this exercise, that exercise, bit of machinery, not too much in the way of free weights because he might hurt himself.
Yes, that's good.
And then how disciplined. I thought Carl would probably give up. part way through some of the exercises. Yeah, they're too well. Hard. But he didn't actually.
I tried everything as hard.
He had very good sense of stillness, which is good. Because I explained to him when you're lifting a weight, you have to be, it's a meditative thing.
Well, this is why I think you're a good teacher. Like, really good, because like. Weights often, everyone always thinks it's all about pushing, but as you described it to me in the way that I need to be told, it's just sort of in a hippie-ish.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all about your breathing and you're taking it slowly.
On the way down, out on the way up normally?
Well, it depends on, but I mean, you've got to breathe in and out basically. It varies with each movement. One of the side effects of hard training is injury.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no avoiding it. I've had every bodily part, especially with martial arts, I've had every fucking joint and I haven't broken too many bones, but I've had a lot of injuries.
From a fight with someone?
Yeah, sparring and that. Yeah, I've had cracked toes and, my knuckles cracked from trying to break wood. And elbows have been damaged.
Can you do the wood thing? I used to. What's the most planks of wood you've broken?
Well, it depends on the type of wood. It's a bit of a racket, really, because they use pine wood, which is very, very soft. And you hit with the grain, it breaks really easy.
Really?
Yeah, I tried to break jarrah, which is like a hardwood.
That's a scawera, was it?
I just kept punching. I had people holding it. And you've got to know how to hold it, too. And I just see that knuckle. You see that knuckle?
Oh, God. You're not trying to punch it the wrong type of wood.
Yeah, so that was a disaster.
Is that harder than breaking? Because people do bricks, but is it, in a way, is a brick easier to break than a jarrah wood?
No. I mean, jarrah. I was the only one who ever tried breaking jarrah.
It's the first I've ever heard the word jarrah in my life.
Now, you're supposed to use pine wood. Yeah. You know, you've got soft wood.
You got a mate, haven't you? Like, was he a karate master, your mate you got into a lot of fights with?
Oh, you mean Ozzy? Yeah, Ozzy was very... He was like a moral thug. Like, he would beat people up, but in a moral kind of way. Yeah. Like, he wouldn't, if you were a decent bloke, he wouldn't beat you up.
Right.
But if you were a bit of an idiot and you got the wrong side of him,
right,
then he'd just fucking half kill you.
Like, and what's he done that you've seen?
I've saw him... he was bouncing once, and then someone threw a rock through the nightclub window. And then someone came running in and said, a bloke in a white shirt had just fucking thrown a rock through a window. So Ozzy went outside, he saw a bloke with a white shirt, tapped him on the shoulder and just went bang. But it was the fucking wrong bloke.
Oh, God.
So
that was if I was him, I would have been like, can you give me a few more details?
Yeah, more details.
A lot of blokes wear white shirts.
Like Friday night. Yeah.
Everyone's just come back from work. Some bloke walked back from a long day at the accounting. Nutty bouncer smashed.
But he was doing that continually. It always this is before camera, so he could get away with a lot more. He was continually beating people up.
Oh, right.
And he had no tolerance at all. He wasn't a bully, but he just loved fighting. He loved violence. And he's the only man I know who got in a fight in a fucking library. I've never heard of that in my life.
Did you get a fight?
It was in the philosophical section. Of all the places to have a fight, philosophical part of the library.
Yeah.
And he always wore shorts. And he had like big hairy fucking legs. And someone made a derogatory comment about his hairy legs.
What, in a library?
In the library.
Who's heckling in the library?
Yeah, yeah. Someone laughed at his legs, basically. Oh, right. And that was enough to trigger a violent confrontation. So
he had an actual... Because obviously you're not allowed to make noise.
Is it very
tough to beat him up very quietly?
Silence is on
his fist. So he got in a big fucking fight and he just pulverised this bloke. And but then he decided to have he said he was going to change his life. He said that he was getting tired of all the violence and he wanted philosophically made a decision
He saw the power of now.
Just read Gandhi,
And he took up meditation and yoga, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I used to bump into him and then I'd say, hey, is it going? He's I'm meditating. I haven't had a fight for a couple of weeks. I'm feeling really calm and all that kind of stuff.
With you two in the gym, this is a few things that I wanted to find out straight away.
Right.
One was, what did you both wear to the gym?
Well, this was so we met at the gym.
Mm-hmm. Because it's quite what type of gym is it as well?
It's a really cool gym actually.
It's a great gym.
It's a good gym.
I for some reason thought you'd be like a proper like old school boxing gym, Trev.
It's got an old school like the decor is quite old. It's not like a really crazy modern like lit like banging music. Gym
It's a gay gym predominantly. You know?
Is it?
It's a gay gym, and sort of, but it's got the old standard equipment that I like.
Yeah,
you know, it's got like heavy bag. And
this is the thing, because I brought a gym kit.
Yeah.
You showed up just wearing what you were going to wear in there, just a coat.
Yeah.
Which was impressive.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you not shower at the gym?
No, I don't. No, I never shower at the gyms.
No.
I think they're a bit unhygienic. But, you know, you're a bit tired after workout. You can hardly raise, if you're trying pop, you can hardly raise your arm. So I didn't, you know, I couldn't be fucked scrubbing and all that kind of thing.
too lazy, too tired to scrub your arm.
So that was fun.
Does it have a sauna?
It does have a sauna, actually.
Because this is another thing. I sort of get the hygiene thing. I used to have a go to like a Virgin Active thing. And it'd always be blokes shaving in the steam room and sauna, which is not allowed.
That is not acceptable.
It's not allowed. There's signs about it, but they do it because it opens it. And another guy, I've had it before, where I've been in the steam room and there's been a guy just fully naked in there.
Okay.
That's not...
Sitting naked bum on the thing. And that's unhygienic. It's not even, I don't mind the fact there's a guy naked, that's just not hygienic to put your bum hole on a
that's right.
On a bench. So you never do any of that sauna steam room.
Do you never use the sauna in there?
No.
Really?
I don't know whether saunas are any good. I don't know whether they're healthy, actually. There's a lot of germs breed in saunas. And then as far as sweating goes, you know, I think you can sweat fucking exercising. I've always gone into a sauna for a bit of a perv or something, like a fetish club. I've never actually taken them seriously.
But a fetish club, they have a sauna.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the one I'm going to now, but others that there's saunas.
The whole bit, you know, the one you're going to now?
Like a Roman bath.
What's the one you're going to now got?
Well, the one I talk about in the podcast has got a wet room, they call it, and a shower. It's pretty basic. If you go to a more sophisticated fetish club, they've got all kinds of things, televisions and saunas and dark
television. We're just going to watch the football.
They usually have porn movies.
Watching EastEnders.
Porn movies on.
Porn movies does make sense.
Oh, really?
They have a dark room where you go and it's all completely dark. And
just got to feel your way around.
Yeah.
Really? People. That's a lottery, isn't it?
What's your favourite room of your current fetish club? How often do you... I mean, I'm always open. I'm always interested to hear stuff because I'm not in a world I know. Is it once a month sort of thing you go to?
Yeah,
you go to the gym more than you go to the fetish club?
I know, I go infrequently. I've probably been twice in 6 months.
Okay.
So
do you have a membership? Is there a membership?
Yeah, there is actually.
Is
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, mine's expired.
This is the funny thing, because you at your gym, you like everyone knew you. That's the thing, that's like everyone would come over and say hello. When we went on that chin-up bar, your technique on those chin-ups was outstanding.
Yes.
Like, it was sort of proper from hanging. Just like real, just slow as well. Just like
It's like,
did you wear your weightlifting gloves?
I did.
Did you wear gloves? Do you wear? You don't wear gloves. Yeah,
no.
Yeah, from what it sounds as, you went in there just like you're dressed now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. Pretty much.
A tracksuit bottom.
Tracksuit bottoms, but do you wear like a shirt like that?
No, I've got a green top, you know, with a collar. Yeah. That's basically it, you know what I mean?
Do you carry your jacket around?
No, Julie said it looked like I'm fucking homeless or something in the gym. You know
do you wear the same trainers,
Shoe train? No, I've got good trainers, because I think you need to spend money on those.
Yeah, but not the ones that you wear out of the house.
No, just
you
at
have
gym.
A hole in them, it's fine.
But I just I just find I go there and I go there and it's like I like rough house gyms. I like fucking not spitting on the floor, but I'm like But when it comes to technique, then I'm really into technique and knowledge and very scientific about it.
Yeah, you sounded like you were a good teacher.
Really good.
The other two other things you mentioned.
I'm absolutely aching today.
A couple of things that made me laugh was one, because I was like, I said, I know you said you didn't want to shower, Trev. Yeah. I said, the thought of you two having to shower has ever made me laugh. And then he said, you didn't shower, but then what was the weird thing that Trev did?
Oh, well, it's no. The first thing was you commented on how heavy I was. We weighed ourselves at the start.
Yeah, I was surprised.
And Trev was really surprised at how heavy I was.
How much are you weighing in at?
I'm 81 kilograms.
Yeah.
Shit, that's quite big, actually. Yeah, I'm 69.
I'm deceivingly heavy.
I'm 69.
Well, he must have fucking heavy bones.
I have.
Because I'm 77 kilograms.
How are you?
But I've got, my frame is like a bird. I could almost take to the air.
Why is he like a bird?
I don't know. Look at my wrist. It's all in the wrist. Fuck, I've got such tiny wrists.
I've got
and
tiny
ankles.
Wrists.
Small
hands.
Look at my hands.
We've both got tiny hands, haven't we?
Yeah, look at my hands. I've got hands like a doll.
Old Dullhounds crook.
I'm very small. I've got quite a lot of muscularity because I don't look.
It's the thing that made me laugh.
You got your top off in the changing room.
Yeah.
You didn't have a kit to get changed. You just took it off to put it back on.
You went in the changing room.
Yeah.
You got his ripped
and did a, what was that pose? What's that
lat spread.
A lat spread. Tread did a lat spread in front of the mirror.
That's what made me laugh.
Is a well-defined.
He's got a good lat
torso.
So Trev came into the changing room, got topless, did a lat spread in the mirror, put his clothes back on, and then
waited for me in the reception.
That's weird to me. Yeah. That's really odd.
Yeah, no, I do it all the time.
Oh, you do it. So you
gauge him. You've got to say that. At the end of every session.
So yeah, everyone's like, you've got to get your top off once just for the eye candy. So you go into the change room. You get to, every time you do a session, you just check the mirror.
Yeah.
Check your muscles.
Yeah.
Put them back on and go.
I wouldn't say. I suppose it's vanity, but in a way, you just when you're pumped up, you just want to look, see yourself at your best. That's when your muscles are full of blood and you look your biggest. So then you fucking do that biceps.
You should take a photo for Trevor. He's got a bit of put it on the old wall.
I'm not taking a photo of Trevor topless.
I think he'd like it as a present. Trevor would like it as a present.
Yeah, it's the head.
All right, we'll cut your head off. We'll put Shane Warne's head on top. We'll make you topless.
Have you got photos from when you used to do bodybuilding?
Yeah, I haven't got them. A friend of mine's got some.
is it your mate who gave you a lift to your house?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's it. And then you went out of the change room. What was Trev doing?
Oh, so by the time I'd had my shower and got ready, I came out and you were chatting to
the black eye.
It wasn't just black, it was like a bloodshot red eye.
Yeah.
And you were having a conversation about the French Revolution.
that's right.
I don't know how you got onto that in the 5 minutes
we're talking about how fucked things are and how the economy's going down the toilet and the rich are living
in a gym reception
in 5 minutes.
And the elite are doing so well, everyone else is fucked. We need a revolution. So.
Well, that's it. Okay, I literally walked into the reception as I heard. Right. You both agreeing that what we need is a good old-fashioned revolution.
Yeah, that's right. You need to start beheading people.
How was that bloke reacting? Was he doing that like...
Absolutely into it.
Oh, really?
I know, it was a proper two-way conversation. He was well up for it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I had to just stand on the sidelines and let him finish up.
And I was saying, when it comes to revolution, there's a 10%...
Oh, yeah.
A 10% of the population. That's the benchmark for revolution, 10%. When you hit 10%, the other 90%, for some reason, go with it.
Well, check the wedding vows, and the word nice isn't mentioned once.
Carl asked you, as his part of the homework, to do a chore, just some chores for Julia.
For Julia, to help Julia out.
Yeah.
Did she pass this message on?
Yes, she did.
Okay. What chores did she ask you to do?
She asked me, well, I do these things anyway, in a way.
You said you're making cups of tea.
I did make a cup of tea. I gave her three Jaffa cakes.
Out of your stash?
Yeah.
Holy shit. This is progress.
Mathematically, I had a four packet of 12, so I'll give her three. And then begrudgingly gave her
is
three.
Is that all there is in a pack of Jaffa cakes?
12, yeah. Oh. But I thought she'd ask for two, which is, I could live with that. But
You gave her more than you thought she'd ask.
Yeah,
so that's
she
nice.
Said, would you like two or three? I always go, would you like two or three? Then, I'll take... 3.
Yeah, they've given her 70, 25% instead of 25%. Whatever the other percentage.
Fucking Jaffa Cake supply.
And how many,
so that's good. You enjoyed doing that then, Trev.
What's your normal one sitting of Jaffa Cakes? Are you going to eat? Is it a 3?
I've cut down, actually. 6.
6 in one go?
Yeah.
That's a lot of Jaffa Cakes.
What did you used to be on?
12.
Oh, you used to have a whole pack of Jaffa Cakes.
Cut down. Cut from 12 a day to 6.
It'd be a pack of Jaffa Cakes a day.
I fucked my jaw up once because I put them in whole. Them into
like
my mouth.
A pelican?
Yeah, that's right.
You are like a bird.
You are like a body, like a bird.
I throw my head back. I let my fuck my jaw up. My jaw's locked on me. Fuck. I had to go to an osteopath. Fucking my jaw's fucked. They were fucking.
Oh, that's the worst. I just pick up this osteopath going, so what have you been doing to cause these injuries? I've been eating Jaffa Cakes, mate.
No, right. You're right, mate. So you gave her some Jaffa Cakes.
Yeah.
Did you do anything else? Nice.
I gave her head massage.
You gave her head massage?
I've had 2 minutes. I got bored with it.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Do you know what? Whenever I sometimes give a little back massage, it's so boring.
It is, yeah.
First minute, I'm being really nice. Even, 90 seconds in, I'm like.
Even a sexy massage.
Even a sexy one. Can we just have some sex?
Yeah, that's what you're thinking. Oh, you're like, this is romantic. And then within a minute, you're like, you should just have sex now.
You just want to get in. Out of the entire sexual experience, what's your favourite bit, you think?
For me?
Yeah.
I sort of like I think I quite like the build up actually before it all train enters the station.
Really?
Oh. I like depending what mood you're in. It depends what mood you're in, isn't it? Sometimes just like get that done in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Depends what mood you're in. Yeah.
I used to kiss a woman who used to keep her eyes open when I kissed her.
Oh, that's creepy.
Used to really put me off.
Yeah. But hang on, your eyes must have been open if you saw her eyes open.
No, well, I was closed. I opened one eye and fucking saw her staring at me. Very disconcerting. But then she said that she'd never kissed a bloke before and she didn't know how to do it, basically.
Really? Oh, okay. How old was she?
Oh, she was about 15 or something.
How old were you?
Similar age.
Okay, good. All right, that's the correct answer. That's in the fetish club, and that's why Trevor. What's your favourite bit, Trev?
I like. I don't actually like intercourse. I find it fucking tedious after about 10 seconds. I'm just chewing right out. Yeah, just. I think I don't think vaginas necessarily suited to the penis.
That can't be true.
Is this another thing the bloke gave you a lift back to your head?
It's not even evolved.
They're not tight enough. Vagina's not tight enough.
They're not. Maybe your penis is too small.
Or too thin.
I've got a thin one.
You've got a very thin, very long, thin one.
I just find that if a woman gets very lubricated and then you can't feel, it's like you're, you know, fucking waving a broomstick in the town hall. I can't feel anything, and I can't come. I've got a retarded ejaculator.
Okay,
I'm a retarded ejaculator.
So what's your favourite bit then? If that's not doing
to be honest with you, I like masturbating to completion.
Okay.
Over a woman's body part.
That's a scientific way of describing
it.
I know.
It's really sterile. Masturbating to completion over a woman's body part.
Yeah,
put that on your gravestone, Trev.
Any body part, just any arses, area will do.
Arses, bums.
Over a bum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fucking really gets me going. I think just straight out intercourse is a bit.
I think it's good that we left this to the last episode. If this was episode one, this podcast series would have been very different.
Yeah. Right, so now, Trev, we're going to do Julie's email. We normally do the poem before the email,
we'd play out on the poem this episode. We'll have, sort of end of season poem would be how we finish up.
So you said, like, you know, you've given us some Jaffa Cakes, etc. Thought you'd done all right and you had fun with Carl. She's written, almost inevitably, whatever he's supposed to have done, he hasn't done. Mm. Does he not read the email? Does he not care? Not tidy, not positive, books remain untouched, never mind read. He does genuinely seem to get a real kick out of writing the poems. Could concentrate for hours on those, as it means he can remain in Trev Corner on the sofa.
Is that what you call it?
Trev Corner quality. Trev Corner quality. He also seemed to enjoy training Carl. Don't know if Carl enjoyed it. Sounds a little bit too strenuous to me.
I really did enjoy it. It was strenuous, though.
Yeah, I'm genuinely concerned that he hasn't overstrained him. Not overstrained?
I'm achy. I'm very achy. And you've now scared me that you said tomorrow I'll be
worse. Tomorrow, yes.
Because I feel pretty bad today.
Yeah, that'd be worse.
Okay. That's good to something to look forward to. He has really, really enjoyed doing the podcast. I can't begin to tell you how much it has lifted his mood and his spirits. It's been so lovely to see him happy. He's genuinely his happiest when performing and loves doing stand-up and podcasts.
Yeah.
Right down here. Oh, right. But what Julia has actually done is she's sort of given us a couple of little... Obviously, she knows you better than anyone.
Yes.
A couple of little stories that we haven't had this series. I mean, there'll be a few in the locker for series two, I'm sure. But she said, ask him about the Triad Hitman, which is, I mean, as a title to a story.
Well, the because I was Chinese for 10 years, right? And me, my ex-wife was Chinese. Well, she still is Chinese, hadn't changed race. But the
well, you did for 10 years.
But the point is, when I... So when you're entrenched in the Chinese community, you meet a lot of triads. They run restaurants and all that kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah, they're fucking everywhere, believe me. They're in the gambling and...
Have you ever been to one of those places where it's a laundry on the front and there's some dodgy stuff happening in the back?
I know, they're usually restaurants. Restaurants are usually okay, you know, but the... I did go... My ex-wife at the time, she got a job as a hostess.
Yeah,
I thought, yeah, fucking hand jobs, but it wasn't. It was like in a nightclub.
That's where your brain immediately goes. I just think.
But that had this group house for the girls to stay in. She was there like a week, and so I used to go visit her at the group house. So I used to go every day. We still had a flat in Sydney, but she was staying at the group house in Fairfield. So, and because it was right next to the nightclub, so it'd be easier than going to Fairfield every day from where we were staying. So she was there about a week, and I used to go visit her. There'd be her and the girls, about four or five other Chinese girls, and they had a bodyguard, and he was like the fucking the hitman. He was like,
bodyguard?
Yeah, security to protect the girls.
Right.
And he was like a fucking hitman, because I talked to her and I said, "Who is the bloke?" He's quite a good bloke, he's friendly and all that kind of stuff.
Lovely guy.
And she said, "Oh, he's with the black people." Yeah, that's the dark people, like fucking ninjas or some shit. The black, if you say that with the black people, that means they're fucking, you know, into guns.
That's the code for the like assassins.
Yeah, assassins, I suppose. Yeah. So I said, "Well, he's with the black people, so okay." So I thought, you know, he's quite a nice bloke, as I said, and we got on really well. And
of course.
And but anyway, I often thought I was with my wife. I was like, I thought she treated me really badly. But then again, I was, well, maybe that's just my opinion. And but I'd go there every day, and he'd see the way I was being treated by her. You know, fucking horrible way she treated me. And eventually, after about a week, he said, "For fuck's sake, leave the poor guy alone." Now, this is like a triad fucking hitman with probably a list of bodies a mile long to take credit for.
That's amazing.
He thought she was a bit fucking over the top
right
in her mistreatment of me.
Wow.
So
was her response to that?
What was her response?
Yeah.
She didn't, you know,
didn't take any heed.
No, not at all.
Of a hitman?
Yeah,
she still thought
that. He fucking should have taken her out and done me a favour, but he didn't. But the... So I thought, how much of an endorsement is that I gather sympathy from a fucking...
A murderer. From a professional murderer.
So I think there's a certain point of... we're justified my position as far as being the victim goes in the relationship.
Yeah, I mean, when you're having an argument next time...
Yeah,
that's
right.
That one out of the bag. Even the hitman was with me.
But he actually said to me, he said, "Trevor, you should try and do some stuff in the underworld," as he called it. I said, "Mate, I'm not really suited." And then I said, "It's too much stress, mate. You can't fucking
join a..." Wouldn't it be a bit... Most triads imagine a Chinese and then some Australian bloke from the start and holes in his shoes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yeah, but I think you'd be the most feared.
Yeah,
Isn't it
Guilo? Guilos?
Is that
Gunning in Shanghai, for Westerner. Now Gunning,
I always sort of thought it'd be great to be part of a sort of mafia type thing, wouldn't it?
No?
It'd be like cool to be part of a mafia type thing.
It would be cool.
In a way, but you know, there was like, they found some bloke, they're very vindictive, the Chinese mafia. They're much worse than the Italian mafia.
Right.
They'll kill you, but they'll like kill members of your family first just to make you suffer a bit more. They found one Chinese bloke, don't know what the fuck he'd done, but they'd shot him in the head with a nail gun, and they had like, he had 56-inch nails on his head.
Oh my God.
So they, He'd fucked up somewhere along the line.
Yeah, I mean, something's gone wrong somewhere along the line.
Mistook him for a bit of furniture or something. I don't know, but they had an x-ray of his head on the news, actually, in the paper.
All right, another poem. Perfect, back on the sofa. Now you can all fuck off.
So, we're coming towards the end of the series. So we thought we'd end the series on one of your
This poems. Is an all-encompassing poem about the entire experience.
Great.
Of doing the podcast.
Yes.
So the end has now approached, the podcast's final breath. Let us hope they will provoke some well-deserved success. Three comics and their producer look down upon the casket, remembering the saying about eggs and one basket. Now I reflect on the task they set to get me up and out, to stir the sloth inside my soul that was happiest on the couch. A love poem to Julia was my first official task, to paint with words my love for her and underline her class. I went to the zoo one freezing day to see things that crawl and slither, a silverback and an anorak and a tiger having dinner. A yoga class was my next manoeuvre. I imagined girls doing poses from the Kama Sutra. Reality was different, foiled again. The class was me and three other men. A romantic meal for Julie was their next demand. It came out of a packet, it came out of a can. But she ate it, her hunger was pronounced. And as the old romantics say, it's the thought that counts. The Kiefer exhibition was a serious test to make death and destruction a target of jest. To give this nihilist and pessimist comedy cover and make him more than Nietzsche's twin brother. The final request, Jim with Carl at his behest. Pumping iron was not his game, no bumps on his slender frame. Could I mould the shapeless form? Develop something approaching norm. Make him heave and make him sweat. Inflict pain with no regret. Carl put in, he earned his stripes, he took on iron and won the fight. But tomorrow he'll be completely screwed, especially if he tries to move. Moaning and yelping will be the epitaph. The iron always has the last laugh. Now the podcast are done and I'm heading south. I'm off to Australia, over and out.
Yes, Trev. That's lovely. Great way to end it.
What a way to
better than a montage at the end of a football season.
It is. Trev's poem.
It has improved my mental health a little bit. I'm not ecstatic.
That's fine. I'll take that from you, mate.
You're not feeling fully shit, but you're up to almost okay.
Yeah, almost okay. Yeah.
That's good on the Trevometer.
Yeah, I thought we need to do a lot more. We could do this fucking regularly. Why not?
Thanks, Trev.
Yeah, that's all right.
That was the final one, Carl.
What's that? That's the end.
You sad?
Yeah.
I'm a bit emotional. I'm really gutted. I've had so much.
It's been a lot of fun, hasn't it?
Just getting to hang out with Trevor once a week.
And I suppose we should probably do a little roundup of how he got on with his homework.
Final homework assignment.
Good. I was
the gym one.
Gym was an absolute 10 out of 10. Success. I feel destroyed from it. He really worked me. He's a very good teacher. Genuinely,
I love the fact that he gets topless after every session,
and also that everyone knows him. Yeah. It was like a gangster's gym where like everyone just sees the boss comes in and has to go and pay their respects.
Yeah. With Julia's, as predicted on that, really.
Very few chores. The Jaffa Cakes was nice.
It's nice that he gave a quarter of his Jaffa Cakes.
Like a Jaffa Cakes. Yeah, so there's good. There was progress, I think, you know. From Julia's email, she says there has been progress and it is all positive. So next season's on to bigger and brighter things.
Yes, Trev.
I mean, obviously, there is the chance that we now have to go to a fetish club.
Yeah, we should probably tell everyone that that might have sounded odd to you. We know Trevor from before. It has a penchant for the fetish club.
So we saved it to the final episode. Before, so we thought we don't want to let that cat out of the bag.
Nice surprise.
So, but now it's out. Next,
it almost was a cliffhanger for season two. Will Carl, Chris, and Joel Brusa end up in a gangbang?
I reckon. So next season we need to go to a fetish club. We can all start going to for group gym sessions.
Yeah.
My plan is to get really ripped, and when we go to a fetish club, I. don't get insecure.
I'm going to buy some weaponry. Just to,
what do you mean weaponry?
Just, you know, just like, you know, whips and chains and stuff. Okay. Just general stuff like that.
Oh, good.
So what was your little bonus highlight, final episode?
It was nice to get a mention in the poem, to be honest. I feel quite honoured to have made it into the
poem. I'm jealous I've not made it.
Even if it was getting mugged off for not being up in tip-top condition.
I really enjoyed the fact that he dreams about fighting celebrities and specifically just hanging out with Shane Warne. I hope he's learned how to lucid dream in the next few months.
That should be... So, yeah, that will also make it into next season.
That'll be a good topic each week. Who's Trev beating up this week?
Which celebrity? Which cameos were in this week's dreams? Oh, it's been fun.
It's been great. Guys, people can thank get in you touch. So much for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. But in the meantime, do get in touch. On Twitter, at Babysitting Trev.
Send us suggestions, season two. Different homework to give Trev.
Yeah.
Stuff he's got to do. Stuff maybe we can do with him. We'll report back.
Spread the word.
Spread the word. Because the way this is going to work is the more people that listen, there's plans for it to go further. We need as many people to listen. So people that like a laugh and you think need a bit of Trevor in their life.
Yes.
Get that Trevolution working, guys. There spread the love. Go on iTunes.
Yeah.
5 stars. Give us a nice write-up. Doesn't take. We don't want your money. We just want your lovely kindness.
Yes.
Cash your kindness for us, guys.
We don't take checks. We take stars.
We take stars and words.
Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook and is produced by Joel Porter.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.